Greetings again tonight in the precious name of our compassionate, loving Savior. God has been so good to us. I've enjoyed the meetings again this year, and it just seemed like it went so fast. But I guess it always does. Thank you, young people, for coming and for singing and for being a part of this. God bless you. And I just want to encourage you, continue to serve the Lord. Wherever you're at in life, I think I borrowed this from Tim Zook, but do the next right thing. When you're not sure what to do next, do the next right thing. Do what you know is right. Just keep doing what you know is right. Do the next right thing. Our subject tonight is sowing and reaping, as Brother Ray already mentioned. And of course, that's taken from Galatians chapter 6, a very familiar verse. In Galatians, and it reads this way: be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Out in Nebraska, we live in the southeastern part of Nebraska, mostly corn and soybeans. There's a few other crops, but it's mostly corn and soybeans. And we all know tonight, when you put a corn seed in the ground, you knew I was going to use this analogy, didn't you? When you put a corn seed in the ground, that a corn plant comes up. We all know that, right? When you put a soybean in the ground, a soybean plant comes up. That's very basic. We all understand that. When you plant flowers in your garden, when you plant a flower seed, hopefully a flower comes up. We understand that. Now, in Nebraska, according to what I read, in 2023, it was estimated that there were 1.73 billion bushels of corn harvested and 267 million bushels of soybeans. Now, I have a question for you. Does that mean that 1.73 billion bushels of corn was planted? Not at all. I want you to think about some opposites in life, all right? Opposites. We're familiar with opposites. We have up, we have down. We have black. We have white. We have right. We have wrong. Opposites. We have left. We have right. We have good. We have bad. We have high. We have low. We have north. We have south. Opposites. We're familiar with that. We have top and we have bottom. So in whatever situation you find yourself where you have to choose one of these, you have to choose one or the other, right? You can't choose both. If I want a black picture, I'm going to pull out my black crayon. I'm going to color the whole page black. It's not white anymore. They're opposites. I can't have it black and white. Now, from where we live in Nebraska, it's about 1,500 miles to Sacramento, California. That's that way. And it's also about 1,500 miles to Boston, Massachusetts. That's that way. Opposites. Now, our address is Beaver Crossing, Nebraska. So if I were to go to the interstate, to the interchange there, Beaver Crossing Interchange, exit 369, and get on Interstate 80, which if you've been out that direction, good chance you went through there on Interstate 80 where you live in flyover country. If I were to get on Interstate 80 out there, I have two options. I can either go west or I can go east. There's no third option. Oh, I can go north and south, but if I'm going to get on the interstate, I'm going to either go west or east. And I want to tell you that if I aim to get to Sacramento, California, I'd better go west because that's the only way to get there. I can't get to Sacramento by getting on eastbound, heading, driving through Indiana and going out to Boston. Are you with me? What is your destination tonight? Which way are you headed? Where do you intend to end up? You know what it depends on? It depends on what you sow. And brothers and sisters tonight, if you want to end up in Sacramento, then you have to go west. Are you with me? Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. While you're turning there, I want to tell you about the old man and the new man. There's two natures, only two natures. We call it the old man and the new man. Romans 5:12 says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The old nature. And this isn't original with me, but I like it. I believe that the law of physical death that was passed down from Adam is proof of the fact that the sin nature was passed down as well. You think about that a little bit. There wasn't death before there was sin. Adam passed death upon all men physically. I think that's proof that the sinful nature was also passed down. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Ephesians chapter 2. There's two natures. Think about this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See the difference there? Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's past tense. You're not there anymore. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what you were. Either that's what you were or that's what you are. But if you have the new nature tonight, then that's what you were. You're not there anymore. And while you were living that way in sin, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There's only two natures, brothers and sisters. Verse 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, not anymore, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. There are two natures, and the two natures are opposite. And you're alive to one or the other. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're opposites, diametrically opposed to each other, the flesh and the Spirit. They're not going the same direction at all. East and west, completely opposite. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That's one destination. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the other. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8 says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You believe that tonight? My wife wasn't raised in a Mennonite home. And this verse 8 was a pivotal verse in her making her decision to go the direction she went. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. She came to a point in her life where she saw this life and this life, and she knew she had to make a decision. I'm glad she made the decision she did. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. What does that mean? It means decisions have consequences. Decisions have consequences. Remember that, young people. Decisions have consequences. Now, growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm. We planted, there were things that we planted that we wanted to grow, of course. Things that we put in the, seeds that we put in the ground, we wanted to produce fruit. There were also things that grew that we didn't sow. Where'd they come from? We planted good seed, we wanted that to grow, but then there was also other things that grew that we didn't like, things that we didn't want to grow. Many times, we took a feed sack, my brother and I, and maybe we'd ride the motorcycle and we'd go out to the pasture and we'd dig thistles. We didn't plant thistles. You know what a musk thistle is? They get pretty big. And as much as I hate to admit it, their flower is pretty, really. But they're a nasty, nasty thistle. And we'd go out there and we'd pick those purple heads off. We'd put them in the feed sack. And then we'd take our spade and we'd dig that thistle out of the ground because we didn't want it growing there. We didn't plant it, but it grew anyway. Once in a while when we got there, the flower had already started to go to seed. And you'd try to contain as many seeds as you could. How many seeds did it take for that one plant to grow? Well, I guess one. Did you know that those can produce up to about 20,000 seeds per plant? The law of sowing and reaping. It adds up in a hurry. Who of us would tolerate a huge thistle in our front yard? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't tolerate a great big ugly thistle in my yard. I don't like those things. They're weeds. How about sandburrs? You know what sandburrs are? Those horrible, nasty things that get caught in your pant legs. And you try to pick them out and they get stuck in your thumb and oh, they hurt. Those are weeds. We don't plant them, but they grow. Where do they come from? What's the lesson here? If you want a good crop of corn, then you've got to plant corn seed. And then you know what else you have to do? You have to get rid of the unwanted plants. That's the way you're going to get the best crop. You plant good seed and you get rid of the bad. You get rid of the weeds. Not only is the harvest dependent on what you sow, it's dependent on what else grows there. What are you sowing in your heart tonight? What are you allowing to grow there? Are you digging out those weeds? What's growing in your heart? Only you know the answer to that question. Be not deceived. Don't be tricked into thinking otherwise. God will not be mocked. His law is his law. One of the cardinal rules is what you sow, you reap. And you can't change that. If you think you can change that rule, you're wrong. God will not be mocked. That is the law of nature. It's also the law in our heart. What we sow, we reap. I ask you, what are you sowing in your heart? What are you allowing to grow there? These are the facts that God has set in order. This whole sowing and reaping principle. Whether we choose to accept it or deny it changes nothing. What we sow, we reap. And you know, I believe that we're always, always sowing. We're always sowing something. Aren't we? Either good or bad. What did you sow today? What did you sow in your life? What did you sow in the life of another today? What did you allow to come into your heart? Was it good seed? Was it a thistle seed? We're always sowing as we interact with people. If we're sowing in carnality and sin, sowing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things aren't of God. They're not part of the new man. That's part of the old nature. But brothers and sisters, tonight, if that's what excites you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, if that's what excites you, if your mind is motivated by the sins and works of the flesh, Galatians 5, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such like. If that's what excites you tonight, if those are the seeds that you are sowing in your own heart, then you need to repent. If that's what you're sowing in your heart, if the lust of the flesh is what excites you, then you will reap corruption. You will reap rot in this life and the next. If you're sowing to the flesh tonight and you're pleasing that old nature, that unregenerate nature, doing what appeals to the flesh, what feels good, whether it's attitudes, whether it's looking at pictures you shouldn't look at, whatever it is, if you're doing things that appeal to the flesh because that's what your flesh likes and that's what feels good, if that's what you're doing, you will reap rot, corruption, decay, ruin. The wages of sin is death. If you're sowing to the flesh, that's what you should expect to reap. You're working for the wages of sin. You are a servant of sin. I hope nobody here tonight is a servant of sin. But if that's where you find yourself, you need to repent. And if you're sowing to the pleasures of sin, you may expect bondage, misery, and sorrow. And I can tell you that one sin will lead to another and you'll never be satisfied. If you sow to the flesh, you'll never be satisfied. You want a miserable life of bondage? Serve the flesh. Please don't. And then after that lifetime of bondage, you'll reap eternal damnation. And this is for every one of us. Every one of us. No one is excluded. We're all headed somewhere. We're all headed somewhere on the road to life. Are you headed towards Sacramento or Boston? Where do you want to end up? And friends, tonight, I also want to tell you that the devil hates you. He hates you. The Christian represents to him everything that he is not. And the devil is a liar, and he's a father of lies, and he'll never tell you the truth. Don't forget that. He'll never tell you the truth. He wants you to fail spiritually. Remember, he's the one that told Eve, that said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said, are you sure?" And then he said, "You won't surely die. It won't be the way God said. That's not what's going to happen." The devil's still saying those things today, still planting those seeds in our hearts today, if he can. He's the one who told Achan, "Take the money and hide it. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know." He's the one who told David, "You'll be happy if you commit adultery. That will bring you pleasure. Do it." He does not have the Christian's best interest in mind. Don't forget it. He's a liar, and he's out to destroy you. He's the one who told Demas, "The world has more to offer you than Paul's God." And he's still saying, "You'll be happier if you serve the flesh." He's still saying that today. Is he right? He's not right. He's wrong, brothers and sisters. Serving the flesh brings a little bit of pleasure for a little bit of time. And then you know what? You got to find something else. It's not long-lasting pleasure. It's bondage. Serving the flesh, serving the devil is bondage. Don't go there. That's not where you want to end up. You remember Lot in Genesis chapter 12. God called Abram, and Abram took Lot with him. And it got to be where Lot had his animals and Abram had his animals, And there wasn't enough room. There wasn't enough grass to feed all the animals. And so Abram said, Lot, we have a problem here. The herdmen were bickering. Abram said, Lot, we've got a problem. I think we better separate. Lot, what would you like? Do you want to go this way or do you want to go this way? You can choose and I'll take the other one, but we've got to separate. There's not enough room here. And so Lot, what did Lot do? He lifted up his eyes and beheld. He looked north. I don't know which direction, I shouldn't say. He looked right. He looked left. And what was the determining factor? What he saw. He lifted up his eyes and he said, I think I'll take the well-watered plains of Jordan. Selfish. And he left his uncle to take the rough country or whatever. And then you know what he did? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was sowing. He was sowing. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord, it tells us. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's sowing. Lot, you're sowing. Think about what you're doing. Is that the direction you want to go, Lot? Think it through. Fathers, are you listening to me? I believe, fathers, that we are always sowing. Not only do we reap the harvest in our own lives, and for eternity, we're also sowing in the lives of our children. I think so. And the things that we sow there, they have to deal with. What do you do when you come home from work and little Johnny's almost in tears because he's so scared to tell you that he mowed off the little apple tree? You're sowing. How are you going to handle it? What's wrong with you? Doesn't that lawnmower have a steering wheel? You know, we're sowing. Or what? You go out there with little Johnny and you look down at the tree and say, yep, I think it's dead. I guess we'll have to plant another one. You're sowing. Or mom, you hear a crash in the kitchen and you come out to look, hustle out to look, and not only is the pie all over the floor, but grandma's pie plate is here and here and back here. What then? I want you to think about that because you're sowing in their lives. You're teaching. You are teaching. You are teaching. And not only do you reap what you sow, they also will reap. They have to do something with those things. Let's go back to Lot. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know what? Before it was all over, Lot was in Sodom. He was in Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord. He was in Sodom. Lot, you're sowing. There's going to be a reaping, Sodom, Lot. Eventually, God in his mercy sent angels and said, you got to get out. We're going to destroy this place. And Lot didn't want to leave. And finally, the angels had to take him by the hand and his wife and lead him out because they didn't want to go or were dragging their feet. They liked it in Sodom, I guess. That was home. The angels took him out and they said, escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Don't look back. Don't look back to Sodom. You remember how it went. Lot's wife just had to look. She turned and looked. And you remember what happened in the cave then with the daughters. Lot, sowing. You're sowing, Lot. Friends, tonight, if you are in bondage to sin because you've pitched your tent toward Sodom, or God forbid, are living in Sodom, in your mind, if you are sowing to the flesh, then it's time to stand up and acknowledge your sin, confess it, and repent, and then get out of Sodom. Stay away from it. There's nothing there for the Christian. What do you say? I'll just be neutral. I won't do bad things. I won't sow to the flesh because I know that's bad. But I don't really want to surrender my heart to the Lord either. You know, there's a lot of things that go with that too. I think I'll just stay neutral. I just won't do anything. In January of 2022, we moved a house into what had been a cornfield. So we built the lane, the driveway and everything, did that kind of thing. And then I sowed, that spring I sowed grass, like a pasture grass mix. And there was one place that it was too steep. I couldn't plant there. It was too steep. So I didn't sow anything there. You know what grows there now? Weeds. Weeds. Foxtail. Assorted weeds. Come and look. It didn't stay neutral. Weeds grew there. Now the other, where the ground is good and everything, the grass is beautiful. But where I didn't sow anything, it's weeds. Only weeds. Almost. I didn't plant them there, but they took over. Let me tell you something. By default, we're sinners. And to not choose to follow Christ is to choose to follow the old nature, the devil. To not choose is to choose, because by default, we're sinners. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. What are you sowing? Every one of us is on the road to eternity. Every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere. I'm asking you which direction you're going. What kind of seed are you sowing? Where do you want to end up? Then head that direction today. Now, if I were to sit down, I would not have fulfilled my assignment, and I would be doing a disservice to the gospel, because there's more to that verse. The following verse says, "For he that soweth to his flesh," Galatians 6:8, "for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." We understand that. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap the opposite, life everlasting." You see, you don't have to sow to the flesh. We don't want to. I trust you're not. "If you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, we are created with a free will. So where you end up, what kind of seed you sow, is up to you. In the garden, God gave Adam a choice, remember? Adam had a free will. When Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, I would have loved to have been your savior, your protector. Gather you like a hen does her chicks, but you didn't want it." See, they had a choice to make. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come, all ye that labor. It's an invitation. We choose. In Revelation, it said that the Spirit and the bride say, come. If you invited somebody to your cabin this weekend, you probably didn't say, "You must come." You said, "Would you like to come?" It's an invitation. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't have to be in that bondage of serving the flesh. That's bondage. You don't have to be there. You can sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The invitation is for you. Come. Come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means that you are yielding to God's Spirit. It means when you read your Bible, you find things in there that it requires of us in our daily life, that you obey them. That's what it means to sow to the Spirit. It means you are not your own. It means you've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You've said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I want to do it your way." And when he reveals truth to you, you say, "Yes, Lord." That's how you sow to the Spirit. Yielding, surrender, self-denial. It means the Holy Spirit leads you. It means when you face that temptation that you, like Brother Calvin said last night, you surrender. "Lord, I surrender. Help me." And you do it God's way. I borrowed this too, but I like this too. If you want God's results, you got to do it God's way. Remember that. If you want God's results, then you got to do it God's way. It won't work any other way. God is not mocked. Are you producing the fruits of the Spirit? The one who is sowing to the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you look at your life and say, well, yeah, I could grow in some of those, but yeah, I see those fruits in my life. Yes. And then praise God, serve the Spirit. That's freedom. Serving the flesh is bondage. Sowing to the Spirit means you are putting God's will ahead of your own will. All day, every day, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. That includes all the time you're by yourself and nobody else sees what you're doing. If you're sowing to the Spirit, you're doing it God's way. You're saying, yes, Lord, I want to do it your way and we'll follow you. Now, back to Abram and Lot. You remember, it's Genesis chapter 12 and 13. Abram was called to leave home. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it says this, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. An altar. Verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord. What kind of a man was Abram? He built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 4. He went back to the place where he had made that other altar, and he stopped by it again. Do we ever have recorded in the story of Abram and Lot where Lot built an altar? Not that I'm aware of. I think we learn a little bit about Abram and a little more about Lot as we think about this. In chapter 13, verse 18, God made a promise to him. He built an altar. Worship. How's your worship? What kind of seeds are you sowing in your personal devotional life? And then he built that altar on which he was going to sacrifice his son. Where was Abram's heart? It was a completely different place than Lot's. Friends, tonight, Abram lived in the blessing of God as he served God and as he followed God and as he did the next right thing, youth. What about King David? You remember the story of King David when his men were off to war and he thought, he'll go for a walk on the top of his house. And he went up there and started taking a walk. And across over there, he saw a beautiful woman that he shouldn't have looked at. Now what? Now he's facing temptation. What's he going to do? You remember what happened? He yielded to the lust of the flesh. And he committed adultery. And he probably thought nobody'd know. Bathsheba's husband's nowhere around. Nobody's going to know. And besides, I'm the king. I don't know what he thought, but he did a terrible thing. His first decision was to sow to the flesh. This will bring me pleasure. I will sow to the flesh. But his second decision was to sow to the Spirit and repent. When Nathan came and gave him that parable, and Nathan said, you're the man, David. You're guilty. David said, I'm guilty. I'll repent. He didn't stay in that sin of serving the flesh. He came out of it, and so did the Spirit. He said, I don't want the wages of living for the flesh. I don't want it. I'd rather be alive to the Spirit of God. I don't know what all David thought, but that was his thought processes. Service to the flesh brings bitter consequences. but service to the Spirit brings a pure heart and peace and joy. Now, I'll point something else out. David still reaped, even though he repented, even though he sowed to the Spirit in his repentance, he still reaped because that baby died. He still reaped. But you know what else, brothers and sisters? That reaping was on this side of eternity. That reaping because of what he had sowed to the flesh was on this side of eternity. Because he took care of it, he repented of his sin, and he sowed to the Spirit, it didn't affect his eternal destination. His decision to follow Christ, to follow God, and repent is what affected where he ended up. And so it is with us. There's a reaping that goes with the carnal lifestyle. But I believe, and I don't know what circumstances you have in your life, but I believe that even if we've been a servant to sin and we repent, there's reaping that goes along with that service to sin. Even though your heart is now pure, there are still consequences. But those consequences can only affect you on this side of eternity if you repent. Now, if you sow to the Spirit, does that mean that everything will always be perfectly smooth? You know as good as I do that it won't be. No, the devil's always going to be there, tempting you, testing you. There's always going to be the pressures and struggles of life. We could ask the Apostle Paul, Paul, how was it? You were a godly man, Paul. Was everything smooth sailing for you? What about these verses in 2 Corinthians 11? Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters. And he keeps on going. Well, why then, Paul, Brother Paul, why? Why would you want these kinds of things? Wouldn't it be easier just to serve the flesh and avoid this? What would have Paul said? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I want to take you back to Galatians, and I want to read the next verse, verse 9. This is what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul did reap good things in his life. I believe he did reap the blessings of serving God. And he just said, yes, I'd do it all over again. I'd serve the Lord again. I know that's what he'd say. But even if he hadn't, even if he didn't reap anything, even if his life was hard for the rest of his life, this verse says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. I don't know what you're facing, but if you have a hard life ahead of you, maybe due to sin, maybe not, hang in there, because one day it's going to come to an end and you can reap on the other side. Hang in there. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Paul and Silas in the jail of Philippi, what were they doing? Singing. Why? Because they had peace and joy in their hearts. They were reaping. They were sowing. Read the book of Philippians. See what kind of a man Paul was when he talks about joy and rejoicing. Take note of his attitude. Was it worth it to serve the Lord and to suffer all these things? Yes. Sow to the Spirit. Which brings joy, sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit? Which brings peace in your heart, living in the flesh or living in the Spirit? You want to work for the wages of sin, or do you want to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life? What produces the fruit of the Spirit? Serving your carnal will or serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are you at? What's in your heart? I know I talked about the prodigal son the other night. I just love that parable. That prodigal son thought he had it figured out. He said, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like it here anymore. Father, give me all everything that I'm going to get. I want to go do what I want to do. So his father gave him his inheritance. And he went a long ways from home where nobody could see him. And he sowed to the flesh. And he sowed to the flesh. And he sowed to the flesh. And he had a good old time, didn't he? He sowed to the flesh. He was popular. In fact, when he came home, his brother said, he's wasted your substance. No, he's wasted your substance with harlots. I can't think how it goes. Harlots. That's the kind of life he lived down there. Nobody could see him. He was having a good time sowing to the flesh. Did whatever felt good. He sowed to the flesh and sowed to the flesh. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Life was a party. But you know what? It all came to an end. It all came to an end, and then the reaping began. Then the reaping began. He had no friends, no food, no finances, no future. He was out feeding pigs. Nobody shared with him. He was so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. He was reaping. And he said, how many hired servants do my father have? They're doing better than I'm doing here. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned. And I'll sow to the Spirit. I'll take care of this. Sow into the flesh. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to sow to the Spirit. I'll go home to my father and I'll say, I have sinned. And then we have that beautiful picture. And you picture this in your mind, Father looking down the road, always hoping to see him, always hoping that prodigal is going to come home. And one day he saw him. One day he saw him coming. He said, that's my boy. That's my son out there. And he ran to meet him, and he forgave him. Oh yeah, sowing to the flesh was fun for a while, but then the reaping began. So that son left his life of sin. He went home to his father, took care of it. He repented and sowed to the flesh. Spirit, I'm sorry, changed his destiny. Friends, tonight there are consequences for sowing to the flesh. You know that. But there are rewards for sowing to the Spirit. I want to tell you tonight, young people, statistically speaking, you have more years ahead of you than the rest of us. Figure out where you want to end up. Where do you want to go in life? What is your end goal? And start making decisions that get you going that direction. Where do you want to end up? You want to end up sowing to the flesh, reaping the wages of sin? Or do you want to sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life? Where do you want to end up? Start heading that direction. You already are on that direction. Keep going. Keep going. Where do you want to end up, adults? Grandpas, grandmas, when they roll us out in that casket for the last time, where do you want your soul to be? Because it's in one of two places. One of two. There are only two destinations. And you're not going to end up in eternal life by serving the flesh. Period. God will not be mocked. That's one of his laws. What we sow, we reap. I cannot expect to sow to the flesh, do all these fun things like the prodigal son did, and then reap everlasting life. It doesn't work that way. Examine your hearts. Where are you at? Make choices today that get you where you want to be for eternity. You have that choice. The pleasures of this life are temporal, but the eternal damnation, well, I said it already, it's eternal. Harvest. While living a life surrendered to God brings peace now, peace in your heart now, and allows you to be in the presence of Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ for eternity. Where do you want to end up? What do you want your eternal harvest to be? Sow accordingly. S-O-W. Sow accordingly. May God add his blessing.